This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome back to the podcast, and we'll be welcoming our guest onto the podcast now, which is a Wimbledon legend, Anthony Woody Wordsworth. I nearly messed up then. How are we, Ant? You all right? You good?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
How's Ireland going? Going all right? How are you playing this year?
It's not going too great at the minute. Our manager's just been sacked, and we got relegated last year. I mean, after I went out there, I went there at the bottom of the league. We nearly got out of it, signed some decent players, messed it up towards the end, ended up getting relegated. So I've gone back out there to try and help them get promoted.
And what's the standard like, Ant? The Irish game as a whole? I mean, you see Dylan Connolly came over to us and a number of other players. Is the standard all right out there?
To be honest, it's pony. It is quite bad, to be honest. But you get like... It's weird because like the top teams, Shamrock and all them type of teams, St. Pat's, they've got like 4 or 5 players that you think could probably play League One level. And then the rest of them look like they've never played football before. Like, it's just a weird mix. Like, do you understand? Like, it's like 1 or 2 that are decent. You might see...
There's like the guy at Oxford, Sykes, he came over, I think. Connolly come over. There's always like a random guy who gets ball from Ireland and everyone thinks, oh, wow, amazing. And then all of a sudden you're like, hold on a minute, this bloke's actually terrible. Or he's absolutely, it's just a really weird mix-up. But I don't know how it kind of fitted in with you.
That's what it is, a weird mix. Like, I've played against a left-back the other week for Galway, and straight away I said, he's going to play in the Premier League. Like, he's that good. And literally Newcastle have just signed him.
Really?
And your season's still going. So if they've listened to this, you've got to go back out there and say, yeah, I was like, yeah, it was a joke, lads. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, they're all right. They're good as gold. they know their pony anyway. No, they're all right. They're fine. But yeah, it's a weird mix. You've got some players that look like they can play in the Championship, and you might see one that, like I said, that boy at Galway, saw him straight away, said he can play in the Prem. And then Newcastle signed him, so it is a weird mix.
So, Ant, how does it work in terms of, for us laymen, you obviously signed with Ardley, I think it was, at Wimbledon. In terms of with Wimbledon and other places, how do you get to the point where you make the connection between yourself and the manager to sign? Is it a case of if you have an agent, they kind of push you about a bit? Do you have a mate of someone or a mate of a mate? How do you kind of get connected to the club to sign?
I think with Wimbledon, especially from my time, I know Simon Bassey was the one who got most of the players in.
Yeah.
Yeah, my agent was like, look, Simon Bassey's been on the phone. Would you be interested? I was like, yeah. Yeah, signed under odds. As you know, difficult start.
Didn't
get off to a flyer. But yeah, I think it's Bassett was the one doing most of the signings.
Do you think the way Bassey was treated by Wimbledon was pretty bad? Like the way that we kind of got rid of, because I still think we miss Bassey massively now. This season's probably been the worst season that we've had signing players, where before that, everything went through Bassey. I don't think a lot of Wimbledon fans realised how much Bassey was instrumental into bringing decent players to Wimbledon.
Massive, like 100%. And I think he was treated badly. I think it just like when Molly come in, he probably saw Bassey as a bit of a threat.
Mm.
Just from my personal opinion. I don't think Wally wanted him around. Bass was the one doing definitely most of the signings.
Because it's that kind of thing, the manager comes in, he wants to see like this is, I'm the manager now. That's how I saw it when he came in and Bassey got moved, say, upstairs watching games. And the first game, because I was going to ask you about the first game Wally come in, was against Chelsea under 23s.
He came down, didn't he? He came down and got
Woody just thought, didn't he? I'm just going to kick the shit out of all the Chelsea under 23 players.
Yeah, do you know what? It's hard enough getting the run around by an adult, but to get run around by a 16-year-old, I felt bad after the game. I did actually feel bad. And it's funny, I got the train home from that game with that kid.
Wow. So
I did apologise to him. But it was bang out of order, but I just lost my head, to be honest.
That's one of the reasons I loved you. When you were playing for Southend, I kept saying to people, the one player I'd love to sign would be Wordsworth, because you're kind of, I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, you're kind of that bastard that you play against, but when you sign him, you're our bastard. And that's what I think you become in. And you were like, that's our, you're our, you're what Wimbledon is all about. We want players like that.
Yeah, I think I don't know. I think when I come to Wimbledon, I did get a bit more physical. I think just because the club meant a bit more to me. Do you know what I mean? At Southend, I was probably playing number 10. And although I do love to wind up opposition fans and sort of be that type of character, it's just me. But when you're playing for a club that you actually care about, I don't know, you find yourself just running that extra mile or, do you know what I mean, putting a little bit more.
Yeah, because I remember when we played against Southend, we scored and there's the video in the front of you just going absolute mental. And a lot of players, they don't celebrate. It's one of the things that really winds me up. Like Joe Piggott really annoyed me a couple of seasons ago when he scored against Charlton. He didn't celebrate. And I was like, you're only there a month, mate. Come on, just celebrate. You were going absolutely ballistic. I'm thinking, that's the boy. That's what we want to see.
That was personal. The first time round, that was just personal between me and Chris Powell. The second time round, we was desperate for the win. But yeah, the first time, definitely, that was just a personal beef I had with Chris Powell. I probably took it a little bit too far. I remember we going down the tunnel after the game and just in that Southend dressing room, you can hear everything.
Yeah.
I know they can hear me. And yeah, he was getting some abuse.
So, when you alluded to earlier about signing with Ardley, at what point, Ant, did you kind of go, oh, this isn't good? In terms of, was it the way that for us, as fans, I can't speak for Lee, it just felt like Ardley's race was run. Like we kind of, he did a great job getting us up into League One. We kind of got to the point where everyone was looking around thinking, we just need a bit of a change of face, very similar to this year. Did you kind of, when you started the season, think, okay, things are good, or was there always a little bit of a, hold on a minute, it's not quite right here?
No, when I first signed, my pre-season went quite well and I was really impressed with how things were going. Like pre-season games, we've done all right. I think we beat Brighton and I was sub. And I remember watching from the sides thinking like, yeah, we're going to be all right here. I think I remember telling my dad, like, get a bet on, we're going to go up. That's how it felt at the start of the season.
Wow.
I was really impressed with Arts. Like, I thought he was a good coach and all that. But obviously, if you're not playing, I probably, had Arts stayed, I probably wouldn't have come into the team and had the season that I had. And that's nothing... Like our daddy's favourites.
Of course, yeah. We know about that. Yeah, we watched two of them be stationary for half a season. So don't worry, we know definitely about that. But at what point do you kind of like? I guess it's sort of from like we obviously were talking about with Ardley. There comes a point. Is it really obvious from the player's point of view to go, hold on a minute, this isn't like? Is it training gets boring? Is it people lose the motivation? Is it the fact of we're not as good as we are? Is it the morale? What point do you as players go, hold on a minute, we're not, this is a really fork in the road. Do we carry on and go up or do we struggle? Is it obvious?
I think everyone, Ard had a good reputation at the club. All the players loved him, to be honest. And
yeah,
I think there was a home game. We scored towards the end when results weren't going too great. I remember we scored a goal at home and all the players ran to celebrate with Ard.
Yeah, I remember that.
I think we ended up losing the game or conceding a late goal and drawing. And then Bassett, and now on the head after the game, he said, if you really love him, start performing and running around for him. Do you know what I mean? Don't score a goal and go and celebrate with him. So the players did like Ard, but if results ain't going well and, you know what I mean, the boys are not performing, you're going to lose your job. So,
I mean, sitting with Wimbledon, as you probably gathered, obviously, me and Lee have been supporting it, and I know your history of Wimbledon as well. I like to think, and again, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but we seem to be a relatively, good fan base in terms of we always try to get behind the players and get behind the team. And I always feel that managers at Wimbledon get a bit longer than other teams, particularly if you look at Robinson this year with us. I don't know if you've been following much of what we've been doing. We've been watching it. It's been horrendous. But it just went on and on and on and on and on. And most other clubs would have gone, cheers. Do you think it's a benefit for clubs to have managers and coaches who have been at the club and been around it? Or do you feel that sometimes you need that objectivity to go, do you know what? I don't want a player or a manager, anything to do with Wimbledon. I just want, we've got Bowen, just comes in afresh. Is there, where do you stick with that? Do you think there's a benefit to having someone in the club is in the group? Or do you think fresh face, everyone's anonymous and we go from there?
I think sometimes it can be a benefit. I mean, when Robbo took over, he obviously brung through some of the young lads.
Yeah.
His job at the club has been to develop them young players throughout the year. So had he not brung them through, I think I'd have been disappointed in him.
Yeah.
I just think maybe he might have brung one or two through too many.
No, go.
Yeah, I thought just maybe he might have brung one or two through too many. I think you need to get that balance right of experience and youngsters. I mean, the ones that come through have done well, don't get me wrong, but yeah, to go 22 games, 20, what is it, 24 games now?
No, it's 26 or 27 now.
Mate. Forget it, I've got no idea.
I think you get to you get to 10 without a win and you'd start thinking about shaking it up, I suppose. But, I mean, they've shown him loyalty, certainly, but it's not all over yet anyway. We might get out of it, hopefully.
Bloody hell.
Question I've got, Woody, is regarding the fans and getting on people's backs and stuff like that. I'm quite a fickle football fan. One minute I love you, next minute I'm calling you on the sideline. Not you, but some of our players currently. Because there was a point when you was with us where a lot of players say were going out and drinking and stuff and we were losing games. I don't know if you read some of the stuff on social media and stuff like that and it was about. And then there was a point when it just kind of clicked with you all and I don't know if you were still going out, but it was like, we're going to crack on now and we're going to have to stop pissing about kind of thing.
Yeah, I remember. It's funny you say that because I actually remember. I think there was a picture of me, Pims and Dean Morgan. We actually got dragged in the office over it. Ard actually said, what's going on here? But at the time, yeah, I think that's right. We're trying to build team spirit. We had a team day out. Sometimes it can benefit you. Other times it can go the other way. I think that on that occasion we got it wrong, possibly, because I think we might have lost the game. It was early on in the season, I can't remember, but yeah, we was pulled up on that, and that was stopped for a while. Ard was like, look, I don't want you going out.
Because that's my thing. Football's a weird game. If you go to any other job and stuff like that and you have a bad day at the office, you go out for a few drinks, it's fine. But football, if say we'd won that game 3-0, and you'd lot have gone out for drinks, everyone's like buzzing. Everyone's like, yeah, cool. But you start losing in football, you can't then have a normal, it's like you can't have a normal life. You have to go I have to go straight home after football. I can't, people get mad now that people, one of our strikers now, Cosgrove, one of the worst strikers I've ever seen in my life, is out in Mayfair eating dinner. Everyone's like, well, how's he doing? It's like, well, he's got to have a life out of football, even though he's poor. Do you know what I mean? He's struggling in Ireland.
Yeah, I think you just got to pick and choose their moments. Like you said, there's plenty of times we had won games away from home and then travelled back on the train and had plenty of beers with the fans, you know what I mean? And there's no problem with that. But had we lost the game, it's just, you know, it's just picking and choosing the right time to do it, I suppose. But so certainly towards the end, I would say we had, I think team spirit probably got us out of that season, the Great Escape.
Mate, and that was a mental escape. That wasn't great. That was absolutely bonkers. I was going to ask, so let's go. We've gone from phase one, Ardley's gone. Downs comes in. What are the fundamental differences? Obviously, we can talk about Rambo till the cows come home, and I'm sure Lee will talk about it because Lee absolutely loves him. But are there like a couple of really key differences between the two that seem to connect with you and maybe some of the other guys that managed to get going? Because ultimately, same sort of players really getting us from relatively poor form to all of a sudden we're off. What were the key kind of differences between the people or the group?
I think Molly come in and obviously I think Sorsi and Trox was playing at the time. And to be honest, when Molly come in, I don't think he really wanted to play me.
Okay.
I don't think he wanted to. The Chelsea game obviously has scored and then, well, I didn't actually score. Will scored. I just got credited with it. And then got sent off. And then I think there were two games we played. Fleetwood, where we conceded four. Was it Fleetwood and Barnsley? We conceded you played Deji in midfield over me.
Wow, really?
We played Deji in midfield and we conceded eight goals in two games, I think it was. And I went to see him and I just said, like, Wally, any chance? Like, yes, a chance, will you? I had injury problems when I first signed. I had a bad Achilles, so I couldn't get off to a flyer. And it was a bit of a nightmare start, to be honest.
But and how was Wally with that? So when you walk in the office and go, look, Wally, don't be a Wally. You're playing a centre-back in the centre midfield. Yeah, he's a good player, but come on. How does that... How did that conversation... Was it a good... Did you leave the conversation like, okay, that works out? Because that's probably, from my head, that's like a make or break. You go and he just tells you to get and do one. That's quite a difficult place to be. So it must be quite difficult, you approaching him. But at the same time, like I say, my wife asks me questions. I'm like, don't ask me the question if you don't want to hear the right answer. So it's like, it's kind of that balance. How did it feel like when you left there? Did you feel like, okay, he seems all right? I mean, how did it go?
Sometimes you go in there and, like you said, you can be told a few home truths. And managers will say, like, you're not playing because of this and that. And I just went in there. I said, look, you can't be playing the centre-back in midfield over me. If you're going to do that, there's no point you really being here.
100%.
And he was like, yeah, sweet, fair enough. You're in next game. I was going to give you a chance anyway. And from there, I thought, I don't know why after that.
Yeah, you did. You were brilliant.
I remember the game at Halifax in the FA Cup and you banged in a goal. Was it? Yeah, nice was that goal, close yeah. to it?
That was Bassey's last game.
So yeah.
Bassey took that game and then Wally come in after that. So, yeah, it was around that time.
Yeah, because I remember that goal. It was unbelievably like sweet the way you hit it. And because that was a banana skin for us, that game. And then the boys, again, they just showed up. It was, as I said, the team spirit, and Danny's harped on it before regarding what difference did Rambo make to that team? Because one of the things I've mentioned a lot of the time with Rambo is that save at Luton when he slips over.
Oh, it's disgusting.
And he still tips it over the bar. And I know you're good friends with him still, I believe, ain't you? You've been able to see him play at Arsenal and stuff. Like, what difference did him, and I think the other one I credit, I don't know if it was Force, like, what a natural goal scorer that kid was for us as well. Like, and then he got injured, unfortunately. But them two were the ones, I think, were the difference.
Yeah, well, Rambo was just, like, unbelievable. We come in, and I think I've said it before, he made a save the first day in training that, like, was unbelievable. I remember Pigs hit a volley, cross goal.
Yeah.
I can't even explain what he'd done. He's like, he was going past him and his arm was like backwards and lifted the ball up. I remember ringing my dad afterwards. I was like, Dad, this keeper is going to play for England.
Really?
I can't believe it. And then, yeah, you talk about that Luton game. Even if you look back to the FA Cup game against West Ham.
Yeah, like, he was good in that game as well.
Frightening. Like, he's just an unbelievable cat and as well, big part of the dressing room. And because you need that, as well as being a good player, you need the characters in the dressing room. And I don't think if we just had the right characters enough to get us out of the situation that we was in.
He was just great. The way I was saying to Lee about it before we came on air, he just had a knack. And again, I don't want to sound like harping about a long-lost love, which I have actually really. But he So I remember one of the first games, the West Ham, I know he played, I think his debut was the Fleetwood game in the Cup away, potentially. But I remember the West Ham game, and he basically, we scored, and the whole, he did the big knee slide that he does now. The way that he connected between, I've always been behind the goal, between the fans behind the goal and him, from the first minute, it wasn't like, I don't want to sound horrible. Who was the keeper we had out? Nathan Trott, the next year. Again, he looked like a decent keeper, but just the general, like, come up to the fans, little clap, get on with it. Rambo kind of was like almost in the crowd with us. He just seemed to connect us to him, which meant that we were connected to the team, which meant that we just felt much more part of that journey. He was just, yeah, as a character, and the way that he managed to bring us almost into it, we almost felt like the 12th man, if that makes sense. And that's a very special gift that he does, even with Arsenal now. He seems to do exactly the same. Just a really special player.
He's that type of person. And you'd see him in the bar as well after the games. He just loves it. Like, you are told at Wimbledon as well, go and have a drink. Like, if I'm told to go and have a drink, I'm going to have a drink. You
know? Yeah, too right.
Opportunity, I'm going in the bar. So he was always told, like, go and mix with the fans in the bar, because, you know what I mean? It does mean a lot. Even if we've lost the game, it's nice to get your opinions on the game, or win a game. It's always nice to be told how well you played. So it's nice to have that little connection in that bar. And I went to a game recently, and it's nice to see that the players and the fans do still mix.
What I love about, sorry, talk about Rambo. I know we've got you on it, but now we're talking about Rambo all the time. Is that he hasn't changed one bit. He's still, like, when the Leeds fans were giving him loads of stick, he was just laughing. He was giving it back. And I think when you were with Wimbledon, we had so many characters, which is like, this is why I think we're struggling this year, is that we haven't got the character. We had you, Rambo. We had Wagstaff. We had people that, real characters that do things, and they'll do things on the pitch and off the pitch that get the fans involved. And I think that's what we're lacking this season.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important. I've always enjoyed interacting with the fans. And like you said there, we did have some characters, Pinnock and
Mitch,
and everyone was just like mental, crazy, like people that were big characters in the dressing room. It was nice to come in, like, you'd actually buzz off getting in there in the morning. I used to wake up thinking, I can't wait to get to training.
So, big question, Ann. All the players that you play with at Wimbledon, you can't have Rambo. Who would you say was the best in training, best all round? If you had to pick one player to be in your group, which would be a great next pod if he comes on, your best ever playing with, like, 1 to 11, who in that Wimbledon group, since you're playing there, would get in it?
There's a few. I'd have to say Pigs, just for the goal score, just for the goals he scored.
Yeah. Was he that good, though, do you think, in training and stuff? Was he just an absolute... He just seemed like a predator.
You know why? Because I played with him at Southend when he was like 19, 20, and he weren't the best. And I used to say to him all the time, like, I can't believe how much he's improved. He couldn't hold the ball up. He couldn't head it. He couldn't score goals. And then when I come to Wimbledon, I was like, Jesus Christ, he's improved so much. He was hot, wasn't he, for a couple of seasons, just banging in goals everywhere.
Did you play in that playoff final then with him?
No, I signed for Southend the season after that.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, because
he scored a goal at Wembley in front of God knows how many were there, 50 plus.
Yeah. I mean, he was just really, he did like, we signed him for 20 grand from one of the teams in Kent. Yeah, that's it, Maidstone. And he seemed to be, I remember this first game, floppy hair, thin as a bean. And then all of a sudden, literally, the summer came, he filled right out, crew cut. We're like, bloody hell's this bloke? And all of a sudden, he sort of seemed to kind of, I think we still had Taylor. I can't remember if we had Taylor or not. I think we did. We had him for Taylor, I think, for one year.
When Pig signed, it was Wigan. Yeah. When they both hit the ground.
That was it. So Wigan played when Taylor was, it just seemed to be a really, yeah, Piggott was fantastic. Any other ones that get in, or is it just Piggott?
Deji, as a defender, Deji, I thought was solid. But
yeah.
I think Wally was really having him. He didn't play too much under Wally towards the end, I can remember. Marcus Fals, natural, like, finishing in training. Yeah.
That hat-trick at Southend was outrageous.
Yeah, like, he's one of them kids. There's nothing of him, do you know what I mean? He's only little, but if he gets a chance, he's got to score, and that's, like, a special talent. His finishing ability was frightening.
And I always say, I just want to check. You went on the Germany tour, didn't you?
Germany?
When we went to Germany pre-season. That's one of my greatest ever memories of watching Wimbledon, is going to watch Wimbledon play abroad, because literally from the minute I got to the airport to the minute I got home, I was literally off my head the whole time. And we were in the stands. What was it like to go on a pre-season tour like with Wimbledon out in Germany and stuff? Because the fans were like, we went out drinking with all their fans, and it was like early hours.
Yeah, that was quality. I remember that. I remember we played somewhere. It felt like a home game. There was loads there, wasn't there?
Kickers off and back, I think it was. We played in that little stadium.
Yeah, it was a good atmosphere, and we took quite a few out there. And I remember, it was outside the ground afterwards.
Yeah, when you were getting a coach, and we just stood there.
You're not wrong. It was all off your nut.
Yeah, I was. So you and Mitch Pinnock, are you still close and still?
Yeah, me and Pins, we're tight. We speak pretty much every day.
Because you two are the ones, you must have some stories that you two used to get up to. You must be the jokers in the pack. You must have been the ones, like the old crazy gang, you must have been the ones burning the clothes and stuff like that.
I said one day I'm going to have to, I said to my other the other day, I've got some footage that it needs to be shown. I've got videos. I'm gonna put them together one day and show them to everyone, because I know you'd love to see them.
Yeah,
hey,
definitely.
Can I ask a question about Pinnock? I thought when he came in, and again, I'll be very honest, I thought he was fantastic. Left foot, right foot. His name is Mitchell Pinnock, on down, star man on the wing. I was at Doncaster, he scored. I was quite gutted that it was a weird one, because he went like a rocket flying up, and then he kind of sort of, his form went. He obviously went to Kilmarnock. He's absolutely tearing it up in Northampton, isn't he? He's absolutely doing brilliantly well. How good do you think we got the best Mitchell Pinnock at Wimbledon, do you think? Do you think it was what do you reckon? Because he was obviously clearly talented, but we didn't quite, I think we had A-star Pinnock at the beginning, and it kind of went down a little bit, and we couldn't quite. I felt like we didn't either know where to play him or what to do with him, because he was so good, left foot wand, I thought it was great. What did you make of it?
I thought at the start he was off to a flyer. I think we had Big Hansen up there, didn't he? With his left foot whipping balls in. I think he was creating quite a lot of chances. But he's absolutely flying with Northampton now. I think maybe we got rid of him a little bit too early.
I agree. I totally agree.
Hodgie obviously had a clear out. I think he got rid of everyone. I think with like the likes of myself, had an injury towards the end of that season. Quezzy had an injury. We was a bit getting 30 plus. We could understand that. But when they got rid of Pims, I was a bit shocked, to be honest, because there's definitely a player there. And he's come from Wimbledon off the back of being on a building site working. That's his first and second season in professional football.
That's bad, isn't it?
Time to adapt. And I thought, they definitely made a rip there getting rid of him.
And how do you deal with that, Ant? Like, you meet someone like him, you get a really, really well, you've got a great relationship, great banter. And then all of a sudden you find out he's basically been binned off or released. You guys as players, and again, I think this is part, and again, I'm a football fan, I've been there for ages. I think it's a really, really underspoken story. You know, you're human beings. You might have met a great mate of yours, your best man at your wedding, and the next minute he's gone to Kilmarnock and you're in Wimbledon. You're like, where's my mate gone? Like, how do you deal with the constant turnover of players and losing mates of yours and gaining a bloke and go, this bloke's a complete arsehole. I remember playing with him at this place. How do you kind of emotionally deal with that? Do you find it easy, or is it just a case of, do you know what, this is what it is and you just get on with it?
Yeah, no, it's kind of that. The older you get, you just get used to it, kind of thing. I'm sure there's quite a lot of people who have been pleased to see the back of me. I mean, I used to hammer everyone. But that was only because I cared and I wanted them to be better players.
Of course.
I remember one fan after a game saying, like, why'd you get on Terrell Thomas so much? And I was like, well, if I don't get on him, he might lack concentration, switch off and concede the goal. Do you know what I mean? But that's, it's part and parcel of football. They come and go, but I mean, I've probably got 10 players I've played with that I'll keep in contact with regularly throughout, 15-year career. The rest...
Really? The rest of them, you just kind of drifting, just ships that pass in the night?
Yeah, they just come and go. And at the time you're there with them, obviously your best mates and you want to succeed and be successful. But once you're gone, you're gone. Now, you stay in contact now with social media, it's a bit easier. But had there been no social media, I probably never would have spoke to them.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Because one player I wanted to speak to you about, he didn't play for Wimbledon, is Niall Ranger. You was with him at Southend, and obviously
open this up, start the car.
I live in Southend, so obviously you hear all the stories, you read them. Like, what? Like, is he just, because he is so talented, I reckon he could still be playing top level football, but is he just brain dead, or is he just, one of them, you're never going to get the best out of him?
The thing is with Niall, everyone, he's got this reputation of being like this gangster, but you sit down and talk to him, he's the nicest kid in the world. And some of the stuff you read about him and hear about him, you think like, I can't believe that's even true. Like, but yeah, he just finds himself in some bad situations. And I found that out when I got arrested with him in Cardiff on a Christmas do.
What? But, is that where you all dressed up?
Yeah, well, we went to Cardiff for a Christmas do. And to be fair to him, he was sitting down minding his own business. And the Welsh police, they actually picked a fight with him. It went off a little bit. I ended up getting nicked. I had to do 186 hours community service.
What? Not in Wales, hopefully.
No, it was the season after that. I signed for Wimbledon and we'd done a pre-season in Cardiff. And I was barred from Cardiff. I weren't allowed out, but luckily ours let me go out. We snuck out.
God, that is mental.
Because I remember you all dressing... As I said, I live in Southend, so you hear about Southend all the time. But yeah, I remember you all dressed up and went out. I didn't know you all got nicked, though.
It was common. It was in the papers and everything like that. So I had to go to court over it. Pleaded guilty to something I didn't even do. I was just told, the chairman said, plead guilty, get out of the way, you get a slap on the wrist. 186 hours, I had to steam phones in a charity shop. I was fuming with the chairman. Right, I said to the chairman, you've told me to plead guilty, you've absolutely done me up here.
Oh, that's good. Well, I've got to ask about Luton away. You basically gave it, you don't know much about me at all. I basically go and watch football. I love my dad dearly. We go together. That's the thing we do. We go to Plough Lane. We go to the Pie Mash Shop, Harrington's. We've been going to Sellers Park. Me and my dad, my mates, we do whatever we do, but I go football with my dad. And it's brilliant. But one of my favourite memories, even I think on his deathbed, I'm going to talk to him about it. We went to Luton away and we weren't, when you jumped in the crowd, which is just like, it was sensational. Me and my dad were celebrating. He picked a Wimbledon fan and threw him over. What the bloody hell was going on when we scored the goal and me and my dad were like, what's going on? And you just flew, like literally went flying in the crowd. What's going on at that exact, were you just going completely potty or were you just like, sod it, I'm going in?
That's, I don't know. Just in that moment, there's no better feeling. I didn't even score the goal, but there's no better feeling than like a late goal. Do you know what I mean? Especially in the land, we needed that badly.
And that Luton game, it was all them, wasn't it? They were Rambo made a couple of great saves. Pig scored the goal. Was it a header? I think it was in the first half. They came at us and they chucked everything at us. It was mental.
That's what makes that moment at the end so much better. Like, we know that could have, on another day, without Rambo or our luck not in, that could have been easily 8-2. Do you know what I mean? 8-1 at the time. Do you know what I mean? So to get, you know when you don't deserve nothing, you know you don't deserve anything, but you get it. It makes it 10 times better.
But you guys were your arse off that day. I mean, I know, like you said, they were a better side, but you guys, every single player to a man, worked their bums off that day. I mean, like I said, Rambo made the saves and he'll get the glory and obviously Seddon's header. But it just, the sheer work rate, knowing that when we got that draw, that was it. It was all we needed was the point at Bradford. It was like, had we not, we might need the win. Bradford was another story, but... So the goal's gone in. What's going on in your head? I'm in. I'm diving in.
Let's have it. I remember jumping in the crowd. A little boy, like, I've picked up a little kid. I remember I've elbowed a lady, an old lady, who invited her into the dressing room for the next home game to apologise. I remember I saw a bit of blood and I was like, oh, no, what have I done? Picked up a little kid. It was his first game. His stepdad actually written me a letter. Saying like, oh, it's my son's first game. He's actually from Luton. We decided to sit in the Wimbledon then because they couldn't get no tickets in the Luton end. And he's now going to be a Wimbledon fan for life.
Oh, mate.
You know what I mean? The kid ripped me a letter. I sent him a shirt. It was just carnage. But yeah, Sky Sports News. I remember they like put the arrow on me in the crowd. They were like, keep an eye on number 40. Yeah.
That was it. We were just watching it because when you went in and then all of a sudden the game started, we couldn't see you. And then someone's like, I think he's been sent off. I said, like, he can't be sent off. And we weren't even, honestly, literally, everyone was like, where's Wordsworth gone? Like, literally, when just that was, because particularly at Luton, again, I don't know whether you've seen many of the grounds, but normally you've got like the chair and you've just got a flat seat. But it had like a, the Luton seats, as you all know, they're like half and half. So it's really hard to stand and get balanced. And because we scored and everyone just got bummed, honestly, it was, when you see sort of these things on Twitter or Facebook with limbs everywhere and bodies like Saving Private Ryan all over the place, Luton was exactly that. It was just chaos. That was unbelievable.
Even like I've been to a couple of games and speaking to everyone, that's the first thing they talk about. Oh, Luton away, that was brilliant. Oh. Everyone, that's the first thing they speak about.
I was more worried that you'd get injured because I said you just jumped straight in. I thought if he clatters a chair or something, you get knee injuries in them stands.
That's exactly what Wally said to me after the game. He was like, can we swear on it?
Yeah.
He was like, you stupid C-U-N-T. When you could have twisted your ankle, done anything. And I was like, well, don't worry about it. I'm all right.
So that was coming from Wally, who'd done some mad things as a...
Oh, my days.
That's what I love about Wally. Wally done some mad things as a Wimbledon player. And then when he came in as manager, everyone was buzzing because he's like this mad...
He done some mad things as Wimbledon manager. Don't worry about that.
Come on. Well, you've got to tell us a couple.
Give us one of the... not the cleanest, not the dirtiest. Give us something in the middle. Just something to ponder.
Yeah, something you can tell
us. He's in Jamaica. He don't care.
Yeah.
He drinks a drink called Black Velvet. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, Black Velvet, yeah.
He drinks that and... Yeah, after a few of them, he's a bit of an animal.
Really?
He's Wally. He loved the gamble. We'd be going up to away games, having a bet on the horses. He'd be giving us tips. I think he enjoyed it. He used to do it. He'd tell us to give us a tip, knowing that it was a donkey, and then he'd be sitting behind us when it's lost, pissing. All the boys losing money.
So that's what everyone, when Wally came in, everyone was like, well up for it because it was a crazy gang member, this mad man. I know you said he was mad, but a mad player, and we were getting this mad manager, but sometimes it didn't come across that he was that mad. It was like he was, and then saying stuff like, be careful like that. He would have been in there. That is a Wally move. Listen, that is saying,
he was mental. Don't worry about that. Obviously some of the stuff I can't say.
Absolutely.
Again, but he was a character, I'll tell you.
So he was totally different to Neil Ardley then, I'm guessing. Which again, Neil Ardley come through the Crazy Gang days where they burnt shirts and stuff like that. And that's why I think it's strange for fans sometimes to see like this, you've been through them and then trying to get away from them kind of era. But I know football's changed a hell of a lot nowadays. So
yeah, but I mean they were complete opposite. But Ardley was good as gold. He didn't mind like a night out, and it's just that I think he just couldn't deal with pressure. As well as maybe the other managers.
So looking, we spoke a little bit at Luton, and obviously that led to Bradford. Now you've been a really good player for a lot of places. Where does the great escape sit with you in your sort of your resume? Is it at the top, near the middle, near the bottom? Where would you sit that in your career?
Definitely up there because that was like a promotion.
Yeah.
Like from where we was, and from when like. I came in the team. I took a lot of pride from knowing what I'd done to help out the side.
Yeah, you did, yeah.
That last day at Bradford, that was just like a promotion for me. And when you do something like that with a club that does mean a lot to you, it does mean more. And I don't care what anyone says, it does. And when you, like I said, when you play for a team that you've been watching since you're a kid, you find yourself trying a little bit harder. Losing hurts more and winning means more.
I was going to touch on it because you mentioned it a couple of times now. It means a lot. Wimbledon means a lot for you. And there'll be some people out there who don't know the reasons why. Obviously, you played for us as a kid, but there's other reasons why the club means so much to you, isn't there?
Yeah, well, I was at Wimbledon as a kid and I used to go and watch. I was at Selhurst Park all the time. And again, even as a youngster, I'd stand in the bar after the games, meet all the players. And support. That was my first love, really. And although I supported Arsenal, Wimbledon was a club that I used to go and watch as a kid. And when I had to leave, when it all went a bit wrong, I was gutted, to be honest.
So what happened, you say, when you had to leave, when it went, what happened? What Glenn call you in and say, look, we're not going to renew your contract?
I remember more of when I was a kid, when Wimbledon went, when it went and the academy closed and I had to go and sign for, I had to go play Sunday League again. And then I got picked up by Charlton. But touching on that, I was gutted to leave. When Glyn had a clear out.
Did you have any idea, Ian? Did you know that you're thinking older than me? Because you must. I mean, you're 25, 30 lads all in a changing room. You get to the second, I mean, there'll be players now in the Wimbledon dressing room. You must get a sniff. You must get a, right, come on. Look, you're almost looking at it like Hunger Games, right? Who's next? I mean, did you have an idea that you might, this might be your last, or?
No, 100% I knew, because to be honest, me and Glyn didn't really see eye to eye. Not that we didn't get along, just, I just found myself not answering him back, but I would always speak up. If I felt something was wrong, I would say it.
Yeah.
I just remember there was one time at Southend, we had a bit of an argument, and obviously I was the vice captain, he took it off me, gave it to Waggy, so I knew from early doors, if he was the manager at the end of the season, I'd be gone. But that's football. It's just football. Yeah.
Touching on what you said previously with regards to the scumbags up the road. So that obviously the club that all happens. You said you went back to Sunday League. Did you know it was happening? Like obviously you're a young kid at that time, because obviously we're adult. I was there when it all happened. It was a nightmare. But like and you went to the game the other week, didn't you? Against them, you were on the co-coms, which I thought you were brilliant on. Like what was your feelings at that game? Because it was all a little bit. Like it was all really touch and go if it was going to kick off, and you might have been doing another 180 hours.
I heard it was going off outside the station. I saw that video that was flying about.
Well, the one guy in the Stone Island jacket taking on the police and all the Milton Keynes fans.
It's just everyone was just on edge, weren't they, that day? It was weird. It was weird, but we should have won that game. We started really well, but when you're going 22 games at the time without a win, you just know a goal's coming, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, then he scores. Troy Parrott, who's an Irish international, bangs one in like that. You know, Did you play against them?
Twice. The two times. I think I was suspended for the first one and injured for the second one.
I was going to say, what was it like? Especially with Wally as manager and stuff. I always wonder what gets told to the players. And
yeah.
Because before...
Do they feel of it, or do they just kind of sweep it under the carpet?
Because to me, it seems like we try and sweep it under the carpet, but I don't know about the squad, because the club don't want the fans getting all riled up and everything. But do the squad get told, look, go out there and batter them all?
Yeah, I think when you sign for Wimbledon... You get, if you don't know the history of the club, you're told, I remember when I signed that year, we was away in Cardiff, like I said, and Ivor basically lets everyone know the history of the club and what's expected, and this is how we basically do things. So everyone knows how important that game is. And yeah, I was gutted I couldn't play in one of them, to be honest. It would have been nice.
Do you reckon you would have made 90 minutes?
There's always time.
I mean, getting started, got sent off 100%.
Mate,
so, Anne, overall, with your time at Wimbledon, how were you happy with your lot with Wimbledon? Did you feel like we saw the best of you? You gave the best of us. Where do you think your stint at Wimbledon? How do you feel about it looking back?
I think the first season obviously had a difficult start, and then from when I started playing towards the end of the season, we managed to stay up. That was brilliant. The next year. Just disappointed. I was injured here and now. I'd play for 3 weeks and then 2 weeks done my calf a couple of times. I would have liked to have had another year just to try and put it right. But that second season sort of put a dampener on the first one, to be honest.
I mean, you were literally, like I said, you couldn't have summed it about. Whenever you played, you scored a cracking goal. You did plenty of great things. You scored a really good goal at, I remember down the other end at King's Meadow, like it was always, you shifted it and you smashed it across into the corner.
A volley.
I think, was it a volley or was it, whatever it was, but it was outside the box. I remember it, like volley. Far end, right in the corner. You always seem to be like basic, not to try to big you up too much, but you're literally the exact kind of player I feel that we've missed this year. Genuinely, like Lee said earlier, someone who actually get the ball. We always had like Sammy Morbihart before who'd get it ball horizontal, get it horizontal, get it horizontal, get it horizontal. And we were moving forward, and then Hartigan's now started to get the ball and go horizontal. And you were trying to, I always felt when you got the ball, you were looking to progress the team forward. It was just, but you just, like you said, you kind of, every time I felt that, every time you got a bit of rhythm, you just like, you got injured again. And we were just like, oh man, like we literally were getting going. I was like, okay, this lad's seriously kicking on, getting it, making tackles, making great passes. But every time you got going, it just didn't quite work out. Has that carried on? Have you been struggling to keep your fitness, or are you back and okay?
I've played every game since I left Wimbledon, to be honest. Went to Barnet for a bit.
Yeah, I saw your goal there. Bloody hell.
Yeah, that was
sensational.
That was an interesting time. We was half a season, couldn't get relegated. I had about 8 managers. Finally, yeah, Bassi come in. Bassi steadied the ship at the end of it, and then
he got binned off.
Was it?
He done so well, they took him to Portsmouth.
Was it Bassi and Dave Anderson?
Yeah, Dave Anderson. Good, what a guy he is.
Another yeah, he's very good. Yeah,
love Dave Anderson.
It's important, like people like that. It's important to have them around the dressing room. Again, people like Bezo. You need people like that around the dressing room. Good characters.
I was going to ask, obviously, with regards to this season, Wimbledon this season, we're now relegated.
Well, hold on. We're not there yet. Come on. I mean, there's great escapes and there's taking the piss. And at the moment, we're in the taking the piss category.
How do you think we get out of League Two again? How do you think we do it? What do we need next? Like, you've seen us a couple of times. Why do you think Robbo fouled with the vision that he had? Why do you think it's fouled this season? Because it hasn't previous. I know we've struggled previously, but we've never ended up close to getting relegated, really, except for, well, the last game against Bradford. But
I don't know. To get out of League Two, I think you need a striker that can score 20 goals. Need some power, some firepower. But in terms of why things ain't gone so well this season, I think, like I said earlier, I think bringing through the youngsters is brilliant, but I think maybe one or too many at once, possibly. And again, I know Robbo's type of character and the type of people that he likes to bring in. I think maybe you just need to bring like an horrible bastard in there just to fucking break things up and be nasty. Do you know what I mean? Everyone just, even watching the other day, they're all nice lads and top people and good players, great players. But I just think, who's in there that's going to, do you know what I mean? Who's going to be the one to say something or, I don't know.
So we're on the lookout for a new manager now. Mark Bowen could be the man. So you're saying getting some, not saying you're a horrible bastard, but yeah. Do you fancy coming in as his first in coach? Or I know you're doing a journalist degree at the moment. Yeah, what's the next step for you? Management, coaching, doing?
I'd like the journalism things is good and I am interested in that, but I think coaching, yeah, I'd probably go down the coaching route first and foremost. And Wimbledon will definitely be getting a phone call from me at some point in the next few years.
You're not hanging at the boots yet, are you? You must. What have you got any? You're still playing, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm still playing. I'm going to give it another year or two. I'm going to play until I can't run. As you know, I weren't blessed with great pace, so I ain't going to get any score.
Mate, if you can kick the ball like you kick it, mate, you don't need to run. Let the ball do it. Any aspirations to what you're thinking? Can you get back over to England? Do you think you'll get... Are you still with the club that you're with now for another... Is it Waterford you're with at the moment, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm there. I'm supposed to be there until October.
Okay. And we'll just see what happens.
Yeah, that goes. See how it goes at the minute. At the minute, we don't have a manager and we're struggling a little bit. So
I hear they need a manager / journalist / centre midfielder. No, I'm not chucking it out there. Someone who can write the programme and do the team. That's what I've heard. I don't know.
Possibly.
Because the manager was Mark Burcham. Was it? Is it?
We had Birch last season.
Is he the guy who was at
QPR?
Is he the guy at QPR? Like the assistant guy.
Yeah, to be fair to Birch, he done a good job. From when he come in to the end of the season, I think we would have finished second.
Wow.
By the time he come in and the new players come in, that we were so far adrift. At one point, we was actually out of it. I think we needed to win one game from the last three. And we couldn't do it. And Birch was sacked before the last game.
Wow.
That's weird how it works out there. If you finish bottom, you go into a playoff game with the playoff winners from the league below. It's like Scotland.
Yeah.
We end up going into a playoff game with no manager. We played the playoff game with Ian Hendon. You know Ian Hendon?
Ian Hendon, yeah. Yes. He was at Barnet, wasn't he?
Yes.
Ian Hendon had no... He didn't know any players. Obviously, they needed someone to come in and just take the game, to be fair to the owner that brought him in. But he didn't know the players. He didn't know. He just come in for one game, one training session, one game, and we played a TCD. We went 1-0 up, and we ended up losing 2-1. It was a bit of a...
But you've got no manager now?
We had a guy called Ian Morris who played at Northampton, Scunthorpe. He's only 36. He'd been He'd managed one of the clubs in Ireland, Shelbourne. We had him this season. He's supposed to be a top manager, but... Yeah, things didn't go great for him, to be honest.
I love your way, supposed to be. But and then you got hit with a couple of fireworks. That must have been fun.
Smacked on the head with a couple of fireworks. It's funny, actually. The police rang me up. I don't know how they got my number. They rang me up. They said, do you want to press charges against the two boys that have let the fireworks off? I said, not really. They said, well, they've pleaded guilty. I said, What good's it gonna do? Do you know what I mean? Me wanting to press charges against them. They were just two young boys, to be honest, but it was dangerous what they'd done. I think a couple of young kids in the stand got hit as well. A young girl, I know she had a scarred face and some bad bones.
Yeah, say what you're saying, like two young kids, what's it like 186 hours of community service ain't gonna do them any good. But yeah, if they're throwing fireworks over a football stand, it could hit anyone, like there's kids at football nowadays. So
they're throwing fireworks about, they probably got a slap on the wrist. I only chinned the police officer. I've got some mini service. I'm only joking, I didn't even hit him.
Just pushed him. But before we wrap up, is there any other kind of stories that you can tell us? That's what most people are going to be listening to, thinking, right, what's the one story that you think, right, I can get away with telling us and the fans will like think, yeah.
To be honest, I think the best... Like whenever I think about Wimbledon, I just think of like the coach journey home after the Bradford game.
Oh yeah,
we were supposed to have a night out, and like it just lasted for a week.
Really?
It's mad. Like it was literally a week. We had. I mean, we went to the Ship in Wandsworth on the Sunday. It literally went to Friday, but I promise I will show you some stuff. I've got some stuff on my phone. It needs to be seen. Like I said to Rob, who does the commentary and the media stuff, I said, I'll have to get you to edit certain bits out, but
yeah,
I promise I will send them over because I know you boys would love them.
Because a five day night out, that sounds epic.
I remember Bradford because no one could get trains up there because the trains weren't running back. So we were all on coaches as well. And I think, do you know Big Craig? Is it Craig? Yeah. So he was he was like FaceTiming, I think, a couple of players like yourself or a couple of players. And then you were all celebrating. We were all celebrating. It was just like all different coaches, but everyone was just going off. It was like, it was brilliant.
Yeah, it's mad. I actually, because my dad was in the pub up in Bradford, I had ran from the stadium to the pub. And I know the boys were desperate to leave. The coach actually left me. The coach had gone, realised I weren't on it, and had to come back. I had two pint glasses, and I remember running down, and there's like still Wimbledon fans like coming towards me, like just pissing themselves. Oh, it was mad. The coach down the home was, we had Ivor on there, getting his clobber off. Oh, it was carnage. I've got footage, and it needs to be seen because it's blinding.
Thank you, mate. Genuinely, I mean, I know you're obviously a busy guy, but it was that is so nice to hear people that we've genuinely regarded, you know, sung your name and words of Wagstaff and screaming and shouting and supporting you. And for you to take the time to just give us a little bit behind the story. I don't know about you, Leo. That was, exactly what Wimbledon is about. The one thing that we pride of our club is that our players, and we talk about whether it's actually at times to the detriment of the club. But you know what? I think it's exactly what we're about. That connectivity between players and fans, we seem to have it and not many others do. And whether or not you're pro-investment, whether you want the money or not, having the opportunity to break between and actually be together was wicked. And to hear your stories and hear your input, thank you so much for taking the time. That was absolutely pucker.
No problem. Thanks for having me. And just the last quick thing I would say, any player who does play for Wimbledon, you'll never, very rarely hear them say a bad word about the club. Like even
really?
If they've left, you speak to anyone, they'll always say good things about Wimbledon. And that's not very rare, to be honest. A lot of players leave football clubs and hate everyone at that club, but that's not the case with this one.
No, I just want to say, yeah, Danny said, appreciate you coming on and speaking to us. I think when players like yourself, Mitch, Quezzy now, I think we missed, like, these two I've just mentioned were probably scapegoats at Wimbledon a little bit. Some of the stick that Quezzy got was, I even give him a lot of stick. And now I'm thinking, oh, I would love to have a Quezzy up here at our club now. I'd love to have you back at our club. Some of the frauds that we have now, I'd love to get some proper Wimbledon players back and some players that actually care about playing football. And yeah, I do appreciate you coming on and speaking to us.
No problem. Thanks for having me. Enjoyed it, to be fair.
Thanks, man. Yeah, good luck with the rest of your season in Ireland.
Yes, cheers, boys. Nice one.
Thanks, Ant. Thanks very much, mate.
No problem.
The Wombles had a dream podcast by the fans for the fans.
Welcome to the Wombles Had a Dream podcast. My name is Lee Finch and I will be joined by, as ever, by Danny Baker. We have a special guest on tonight's show and we will be joined by Anthony Woody Wordsworth later and we'll be discussing his time at Wimbledon, what he's up to now and his future plans. But let me get my first guest on. Well, not a guest, he's an ever-present Danny Baker.
How are we, guys? Can I make an apology on the podcast straight away? I'm the reason there was no technical fault. I'm the problem last week. I basically, as many of you know, I'm a bit of a teacher. I love my job. I've done my back. I've got a bulging disc in my back. And I literally, on Wednesday, it was so bad. I had to go to the hospital and I couldn't basically get an appointment. And I've just been a complete shambles. I'm feeling much better now. I'm dosed up to the eyeballs with God knows what tablets. I'm just taking anything I can get. But I'm a bit frustrated because I did see some of the feedback online about what an episode to miss. I'm gutted that I did miss it, and I apologise to Lee, and I apologise to all of the fans that missed out on the content, because it would have been a great week.
No apology needed, mate. It's just one of the things that happens with fans' podcasts. I could have got other people on, but I thought, no, can't have that with the best person on the pod.
Well, excited to speak to Wordsworth, by the way. Like, yeah, I bet he must have some wicked stuff.
I'm looking forward to speaking to him.
I always thought he was like, he kind of, like you said, he was a really... I always felt really lucky with him because I felt that he had that combination, didn't he, of like being a real tenacious player, but being a serious player. Like, I always felt that he could genuinely, like, proper. Like, I love left footers anyway, but he could genuinely score goals, pass, tackle. I just thought he was a very good all round player. And apart from his injuries, I thought he was serious.
I think that's the only thing that probably held him back at Wimbledon was his injuries. I think he would have been a real... And the problem is probably his attitude and stuff. He probably rubbed managers up the wrong way. I loved the fact that he was a bastard. We've talked about shithousery many times in here.
Yeah, we have.
I totally love it. And I love players like that. And we badly miss a Wordsworth this season because someone who has the banter off the pitch is going to bring players in, the younger players, the older players. We badly miss him. I'm really looking forward to speaking to him because I reckon he's got some decent stories about his time under
played many under different three managers as well, which is think about it. He was there for the end of Ardley, the whole of Downs, and the beginning of Glynn. So it'll be interesting to hear. But no, well done. He's looking forward to speaking to him.
Looking forward to him. But where we're gonna go? We're gonna go with Fleetwood because there's no nonsense this way other than your dodgy back, which old age.
Yeah. You need right. Well, come on. Let's get this out of the way. Can we just fast forward to the goal? Like the complete shambles of a goal? Do we go to that straight away?
The problem I got is we're talking about Fleetwood when I wasn't aware of what was happening because I was in Germany. I went to Germany the weekend and I watched three games out in Germany. I went to watch Cologne under 23s versus Fortuna Cologne. I went to watch MSV Duisburg versus 1860 Munich. What a stadium. If anyone goes to Cologne or Dustal, go to MSV Duisburg. And I went to see a non-league team called Mulheimer versus, and that kicked off left, right and centre, which was brilliant. I only heard about it through text. And then when I got back to my hotel half drunk, I was reading messages. I don't know because I didn't watch any of it. And I've seen the goal. I've seen people say that Nick Zanev should never play for Wimbledon again. Is that harsh or are you having that, Danny?
Okay. I think the challenge with Zanev is that the mistake for the fans who have been on Mars this week, basically Zanev puts the ball down as a free kick in the 89th minute in our own area, places the ball. And normally after that, you have to obviously kick the ball and clear it. He takes a touch takes another touch, then kicks it.
Yeah.
So it's three touches after he's meant to kick it the first time. Referee calls him back and says, no, that's it. I mean, it was literally, made it worse, it was a brain fart. I don't know what was going on and why he did it, but not just that moment, but the whole way that the wall was set up, the way that we, the goal was inevitable. I think it's far too hard because, you know, he didn't mean to make the mistakes. I still think Nick Zanev is a competent goalkeeper, and I think he'd be a good League Two keeper. He has declined over the year on the fact that he's had to kick more and his kicking's been poor, in my opinion. So I don't think it's fair for him never to play for Wimbledon again. But what I would say is that his form, sadly, has declined with the teams. And I don't think there's a lot of goals we should watch regard at Zanev's fault. But what I would say is, well, there was obviously the one when he kicked it against the player, Lincoln at home. But his kicking constantly gives the ball away, which means that we're constantly not having the ball when we're under pressure. So I'd keep him, but yeah, we'll talk more about that next week.
My problem with the goal, I've seen it, I've watched it back and stuff, is and I've seen all the pictures that have been put out there, is okay, he makes a mistake, right? But that happens, right? He thinks it's a drop ball, whatever he says, or he didn't hear a whistle, whatever. He's made up an excuse. He made a mistake, but they score from that because the wall is so badly set up. Yeah. We've got people like Lee Brown, who's this total hard nut, apparently. I'm really pissed off with Lee Brown. He's really been doing my head in lately after he said bollocks once on an interview. Everyone says he should be manager because he's double hard.
Yeah.
Turns his back on the free kick, for one. Why have we got a man laying down in a wall when it's an indirect free kick? So he's got to pass it back. So they're all going to move. So, do you know what I mean? He ain't gonna kick it across the floor because he knows you're laying that. Like, you don't need to lay that. And Zanev again, he stood behind the wall, so he ain't gonna see the ball until last minute if he takes deflection off the man laying down. It's just an absolute cock up. Regarding Zanev, I think his decline in form is very, very worrying if we're gonna keep him on, because it has declined rapidly. But there's many players who've declined rapidly. And I worry why we haven't put Broom in. I know it's confidence thing. You don't want to kill your keeper's confidence altogether. But, yeah, he's declined so bad that I don't know if he should. Like, and he's played men's football before.
Zanev will play now. He'll play Saturday because the key.
Of course. But I wouldn't play any of them Saturday. I'd play our kids on Saturday. I'd put the new winger in.
If there was, if we were mathematically down, which we're obviously not, I know exactly. Yes, I know it's a miracle, etc. But he can't, for his professional instinct, he has to go absolutely all gun blazing. I think the real issue for me, unfortunately, I sat next to my dad an 80th minute. I said, it's the inevitability. It's the inevitability that we got. And Fleetwood didn't particularly create much. I know we scored a nice goal, and after that, we kind of did exactly what we did, which is completely retreat and go, right, we're going to go right back and we're going to keep out of the way. But it was just the inevitability, mate, of knowing, okay, here we go. There's going to be a cock-up. Someone's going to make an absolute shambles of cock-ups. And we did. And unfortunately, this time, plus all the other ones, but this is unfortunately, you know, the penultimate one, and that it's going to get us relegated, which is annoying, because I feel if we won that game, Sheffield Wednesday obviously beat Fleetwood, I would have felt the momentum we got, apparently sold out of Plough Lane. It would have been an absolute fever pitch at Plough Lane. Whether it be good or bad, we're being rubbish at home. But we would have given ourselves every chance. And I just feel that we would have got a result against Accrington. And there we are.
I agree. And next week's going to be our last podcast of the season. So we can talk more about how the season's gone, what players will stay and stuff like that, and where we go from here. But yeah, I just think it was so avoidable, relegation this season.
Yeah.
So we've lost, 38 points from winning positions. It's embarrassing. We go 1-0 up again against Fleetwood, who are down there with us. And we, do you know what I mean? And it's embarrassing now. And I just think...
44 points would have kept us up. Yeah. Most years you need 50.
Yeah.
6 points off. And that is the maximum we need.
You look at the... Right, as I said, we'll discuss it more in next week's episode. But look at the games where we are 1-0 up and stuff, and the Gillingham at home at the start of the season and stuff like that, when we were playing some of our best football. And I just think this season's just been an absolute joke. Like, I actually have made peace with going into League Two. I'm looking at League Two fixtures and getting excited to go into Harrogate, go into Salford, go into Carlisle, going back to Barrow. That I actually don't want us to stay up anymore. I just think, well, I'm going to look forward to going to games again next season and enjoying. Hopefully, we can have a good budget. This is what I keep hearing from Don's Trust board members, that next season, if we go down, we're going to have a decent budget, that the new manager of it may be, Mark Bowen or someone else coming in, will get a decent budget to build their own team. And we might have a chance of, look at Northampton this year. They could be going up. Exeter have been in and around it. They're going up. Forest Green are going up. Do you know what I mean? So we could, if you look at, I know there'll be teams like Salford and possibly Wrexham spending large amounts of money, but that don't mean anything. If we get the squad right, we'll hopefully do well next season. And we need to win a game of football soon, because it's, what, 26, 27 games without a win there?
I mean, to be honest with you, like you said, we need to go down. And the reason we need to go down is that we've done the 4 years of scrambling. We've spun the wheel and said we need to do something different. We're going to go away from the tried and tested. We'll be 20. We need to be higher. And it's not worked out. And it's fine. We as a club also have to realise, and we haven't, because we've been so successful, that relegation isn't the end of our club and it won't be the end of our football. But it does feel that way. Yes, it's going to have an impact on the finances. Yes, it's going to have an impact in general in terms of supporting potentially. But you'd like to think that long term, us getting relegated, if we can reset, reboot and re-go, then great. But it is a concern, and there is a clear out, not just with the team in terms of players, that there's a huge turnover in terms of how we do things as a club, culture and everything else, that is right on the doorstep. But remember, there's no civil war. We said that.
I was going to say, have you read Rob's SW19 report?
No.
The SW19 report. What I'd say to you is go and read it. Okay. And everything that he's put in there is absolutely spot on. So okay. If you haven't read it, it's the SW19.
I'll read it.
Blogger Rob Dunsford, I think he's... I can't,
okay, I'll read it. Read it.
Give it a read, and then next week you'll tell me that you think it's absolutely spot on.
Well, I will literally read it, and then I will.
I've not spoke that. To someone who hasn't read it and thought it's been spot on.
All right, like you said, it is really frustrating. I've got no problem being relegated, but I just feel like this year I've watched a team that isn't Wimbledon, and that's the shame. And it just. There's always a catalogue of errors, or there's loads of things you go, oh, it was that. But we've just been poor everywhere, in my opinion, to the point that it's like, you know what, we're not really good enough. And do you know what? I'm okay with that. If this is where we're going to be, and this is what we're going to do, then I'm happy to get relegated. I don't want to play Carlisle and Crawley and Colchester or whatever. But I suppose from a selfish point of view, I can get a few more grounds ticked off my list.
I'm actually looking forward, because Carlisle's a great place to go. It's good for a drink up.
How long did it take to get out there, though?
It's not that bad on train nowadays. It's really good. Did you not go, Carlo, when we drew 4-4?
No.
Really, I thought it was going to be an absolute shit hole. It's going to be freezing cold. Really nice place. Ground's decent.
I guess you can get a train, can't you, from London all the way out?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, we did. I'm sure we did. It weren't that far. But it's really good. Barrow's the one. Barrow takes about a day. Whole day just to get them back. I'm not even joking. You have to go Langston.
Carlisle's journey for
Carlisle. I'm looking forward to I always said there is no rivalry with Crawley. I can't stand Crawley, and they're boring, like they always want to rival us. But that'd be good at Plough Lane, a full Plough Lane. They'll bring a full crowd. Leighton Orient will bring a full crowd down.
Yeah, we'll get some. Well, we're Colchester one, but yeah.
I'm looking forward to Colchester away. Like, I've never been to Colchester away. I live literally not far from it. But yeah, I'm looking forward to these places. So
it's a shame, like you said, but it will just be. I definitely feel like under Bowen, we have kind of stepped a little bit forward. We haven't got the results, but at the same time, you can't legislate with a cock up the Zanna's made. So I feel like we have, and again, with what we've got, I don't think there's much more we can ask of Bowen, but we'll talk next week about it. So let's just Accrington, what do you think? Are we going to win this? Are we going to win? Are we drawing?
I don't care. Sorry, Dan. I've passed caring with regards to Wimbledon and how they get on anymore and the results anymore. I just get it over and done with, right? The problem we got now is, you know what's going to happen on Saturday? Is we're going to go like 3 or 4-0 up, right? Fleetwood are going to be losing 2-0 or something. Don't. Gillingham are going to be losing 2-0. And don't. Everyone's going to start going, oh, this is... And then you know what happened? We'll give away a silly goal. Accrington will score last minute to make it like 4-1. And we'll go down by like one goal or something.
No.
It's the Wimbledon. You know it will happen.
I know because... it is, mate. But could you imagine, though? Like, literally, like, we score like a random penalty 15 minutes in. And after 15 minutes, we're one up. Fleetwood are one down and Gillingham are one down. And all of a sudden, everyone's going, we're on here. Knowing that Cheltenham or Gillingham have to keep going because they've got to win. They'll know that. And knowing that Fleetwood have got to keep going because they're looking at Cheltenham and thinking, oh, bloody hell, you know, they're going to be jostling with each other, thinking we've got to match their result, but we're flying over the top. It just, I don't know.
We need an 8-goal swing. Bolton, I don't know how the other team's getting on in the league. So Bolton
are all right.
No, Bolton mid-table now, so they've got nothing to play for. And I don't know, Gillingham have got Rotherham. Yeah, so I can imagine Rotherham smashing Gillingham. I don't know what we got 8 goals. So that's the only thing I think could happen is that we play, we go 1-2, 3-0 up. Rotherham are 3-0 up against Gillingham. Everyone starts going, bloody hell, this could happen. We're going to stay up. And then we'll concede a silly goal against
Hackney. If you're Boeing, do you just go, right, that's it. It's absolutely gun-ho. We're going to go 4 up front and we're going to go. Or do you just play your normal team and just see what
happens? You play 4-2-4. You have to go for it.
You do, don't you? You just go, right, this is what we're doing. From the word off, it's tempo. We're going to go, we're going to chuck as much as we can up the front. We're going to be very, very risky at the back and we're just going to see where we go.
You have to go for it because as a manager, I'm not talking about a fan point of view, manager, you're still not mathematically down. So anything can happen in football. As I said, you could look at the table at half-time and Bolton be winning 4-0 and Rotherham winning 4-0 and you think, right, all we need to do is win 4-0 and we could, so you have to go for it.
You've got to go for it. You wouldn't sit back and go, right, no. don't concede.
So guaranteed you'll play five defenders then.
I'd have to go something like a 3-4-3 and just play three at the back, three of our main centre backs. I'd play an attacking wide left, attacking wide right. Two, I wouldn't play Hartigan again.
What's with George Marsh playing right back?
No idea. I would play George Marsh with Woodyard and I'd be telling everyone else go. I'd be playing almost, we'll defend with five and we'll attack with five. And I'd have those two sit in the middle. I'd have a Sal up front with Derek and one other. Whether I'd pick Cosgrove, I don't think I can cope with it. I think I'd play Radoni up front, Radoni, Asau, and Derek, and I'd have Osu burning it down one wing, and I'd have the quickest guy on the right and just go, you lot, get going.
Do you think, though, that Bowen is kind of wanting the manager's job full time, and if he loses and we get, say we do go for it and we get beat 2-3-0 by Accrington, you're not going to have many people then shouting in his corner to give him the manager's job full time.
I think we have to think more long term and go, this guy has blatantly come in without any money, no kind of players, and he's got to basically work with rubbish. And I won't be judging him at all until I don't judge managers until they've got a brand new set in front of him. If he wants it full time, then that will be up to the conversation. I think that he's shown enough in terms of coaching, just think that he could do an okay job. What for me would be the way, if he got the job, I'd be saying, right, well, tell me your recruitment policy. Tell me who you've got. Tell me who you know. Tell me what you're thinking. Tell me the conversations that you've had with free agents. I'm interested. And then see what he says. And I would go that. Because if you're a free agent and you're Mark Bowen and Mark Bowen goes, look, I'm thinking of getting a Wimbledon job. If I get it, do you fancy a little spin over here? And you name drop some names. I know you spoke a few about some random stuff that earlier, but it'll just I think it'd be interesting.
One thing's for sure, I think we all can't wait for this season to be finished.
Yeah, can't wait.
We all can't wait to get rid of it, and then we'll be looking forward to pre-season once a new manager is in, new coaching staff. Most of these players have been released, and that we can then have a new squad come in that want to play for Wimbledon. I said we're speaking to Andy Wordsworth in a minute, and that we want players that are actually going to try and give 100% for Wimbledon every week.
Yeah.
Not saying these players, it's hard because people say, oh, they do try and hard, but for the last, since December, I've not really seen them put an effort in, and I think they've just thought, fuck it, we'll go down. Doesn't matter to us, we're leaving or I'm out of contract. But
well, I think we're going to beat Accrington and unfortunately, I think that will be even worse than us not beating. The fact if we won 1 or 2 at the end of the scene, we'll be like, why haven't you done this before? But I'm gonna say we're gonna attack and we're gonna hopefully be aggressive. get a lead at half time. We'll see the scores at half time and we'll just see where the ball goes. But I'm fully expecting us to be in League Two.
Do you reckon it could get nasty down there?
I don't know, really. That's a good question because the energy is not going to be great. We've obviously been relegated. We've never experienced it. I'm going to find it really difficult to clap the players off at the end of the
year. I'm not going. I'm working. I
don't know how I can clap. I'm not sure. It's a weird one because I love the club, but I feel really let down. And like, I feel really frustrated that we haven't won a game in 26. And I don't know how I can clap that. I don't know how I'm going
to
do that.
That's why it's like training a dog, right, to not shit on your front room carpet. And it keeps shitting on your carpet every week. And you keep giving it a treat every time it does it. So it thinks it's good to shit on your carpet. And that's just, you know what I mean? And then in the season.
Is your dog called Cosgrove, is it?
Yeah, well, he just sits there. I throw him a treat and he just misses it.
Don't get it now, I think.
Just hits him on the head and bounces off. But yeah. I'm not going, I'm working. Saturday, week Saturday, I'll be going to Vegas to get married. And I just don't know how people can go and clap after the season we've just had. And that, yeah, they're going to clap these players off. But I do feel like there's going to be some fans that are going to tell the players how they really feel about them.
Yeah, and I think they'd be right to.
That could be quite toxic. But there is no such thing as a civil war at Wimbledon. So.
No, we said that. So.
Right. Shall we move on and shall we get our guest on and speak to Mr. Wordsworth?
Amazing to speak to Mr. Wordsworth.
Right, coming next.
Words with Wagstaff.
We speak to Anthony Wordsworth.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Wombles Had a Dream podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Wombles Dream and on Facebook at the Wombles Had a Dream. Get involved. By the fans, for the fans.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.